go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we just ask today that as we bring these words, this word from the text, that lift the text up, dear Heavenly Father, that the name of Jesus is lifted up, that lives are challenged, hearts are touched, and souls are saved to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. And before I get started, we have a special guest with us today here, Brother Chad. He's an officer of Grand Prairie Police Department. He came by to do some help for us the other day and to show something. And then he came to church. So thank you. Thank you. So he's on call, so he may not be here for the whole time. But y'all understand, pray for these folks. Pray for these folks, because when things go south, don't call me. I ain't coming to get, no. Call the police. Amen? That's what you're going to do. That's what you better do. So call them. Amen. So we're just thankful to have you here, my brother. And he's a member of First Baptist Church, Midlothian, and he's a brother in Christ who happens to serve as a police officer. So we thank you for that. Okay, today we're going to be dealing in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And keep your Bibles open, because we, you know, we'll be staying in there for a little bit. Amen. And it reads, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Verse 5, But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Verse 11, And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Key verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Today we're going to talk about Here Comes the Bride. Here comes the bride. And when you read these passages and you see where this is a parable and you see where Jesus is explaining to the people who are around him, specifically to the Pharisees and to anybody else who's within hearing shot, he's explaining to them what the why and the wherefore of the kingdom of heaven, because nobody's ever seen the kingdom of heaven. So if you've never seen the kingdom of heaven, if you want to get a description of it, you have to get it from somebody who's been there. Amen. So Jesus is getting ready to give them an eyewitness account of and he's using these parables. And one thing that's going to come through real clear when you listen to this, it's going to come through real clear. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Okay? Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Well, how is that, Pastor? What's the key verse? Many are called, few are chosen. The message has gone out to the entire world, but only a handful of folks, comparatively speaking, are going to receive the gospel message. We're going to hit on three major topics. One is the wedding is set. The wedding is set. Second one is the invitation has gone out. The third one, the dress code will be strictly enforced. Strictly enforced. And see, and we don't like, if there's one thing that Christians, Americans in general, and Christians in specific don't like, it's rules. We don't like no rules. I'm free. Don't you know I'm free? Give me no rules and regulations. Well, the joy and the beauty of what God has done with us when he set us free in Jesus Christ, he said, you and I don't have to do anything. He said, but you know what? There's some things you ought to do. And he said, and if you love me, now he said, hey, you know, you got that option too. He said, but if you love me, obey me. Okay? You don't have to. I'm not going to have anybody lock you up and throw you in the jail. I'm not going to. No, you don't have to obey the laws of the land. You don't have to. That's your option. But because we were bought with a price, because we were called to represent, we ought to. Jesus is speaking to some people here who, I guess in the modern day vernacular, would be known as haters. They were trying to do everything they could find to undermine his message. And so he's been talking to them in parables. And parables are really when you take something that should be fairly common knowledge and you use that so that people can get an understanding of something that they don't know. Like I told you, nobody else has been to heaven. They don't know what heaven, they don't know the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is trying to give them something that they can grasp onto that will allow them to understand what in the world is he talking about when he's talking about in the kingdom of heaven. You say, oh, well, that's really good. But the problem here is that he's talking, the only people who will understand what he's saying is the people who already believe that he is who he says he is. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 10. Just go back a little bit. Matthew 13, 10. And you'll see exactly what I mean. Matthew 13, 10. And it reads, it's going to be 10 and 11. And the disciples came, y'all say amen when you get there. Hey, I like that, okay. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of heaven, and he's using a parable to do it, but he knows full well only the people who believe he is who he says he is will understand it. To everybody else, it will be gibberish. Just think back before you got saved. You sit down, you tried to read the Bible. I read the Bible. It didn't make any sense. Well, it didn't make any sense because you was lost. You didn't believe him in the first place, so why would the Bible make any sense to you? The parables were designed to speak to those who already believed and to clarify things for them, and the people who didn't believe would just be confounded. So Jesus is giving them this scenario of a marriage supper. And understand, in this culture, when they had a wedding, man, they had a party. I mean, they'd go on for days and days and days, and just you heard about the Jesus' first miracle was at the marriage Cana and the wedding feast where they ran out of wine. Well, you know, at a normal party, at a normal big party, you don't run out of wine unless a lot of people drink it. And so Jesus came and he made some water into wine. Some folks don't like to hear that. They say, well, wine has caused so much problems and so much, you know, with alcohol and alcohol. Oh, yeah. But understand, y'all, the alcohol didn't do it. It was the person who drank the alcohol that did it. Okay? God says, do all things in moderation. All things in moderation. So we see here where he's talking to them in parables, and this king has set up a wedding. And it says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again in parables. He already knew he was getting on their nerves by telling them parables because they couldn't understand him and they're trying to trap him. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now, he's giving them this because he's explaining to them, he's talking about the Father, L-O-R-D, the Lord, all caps. He's talking about our heavenly Father. And he's saying the Lord has made, this king represents the Lord. And the Lord has made this feast ready, and he's made this wedding ready for his son. Whom do you think that might represent in this story? Say it again. Amen. See, you know why you know that? Because you saved. Amen. If you said, well, who's the son? Then I'd have to worry about you. Amen. So he says, he made this for his son. And that's a representation of Jesus in this. And by the way, when you're doing parables, understand, you don't, parables give you a general picture. You don't build all your doctrines around parables, but you understand parables are usually spoken to hit a specific point, one or two specific points. And so we move it on. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like, it's a picture of, it's kind of like this. A certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the wedding. Church, God is saying what this king did. And this first group of people are represented by the Jews, by the Jewish community, because the message of gospel was given to the Jew first. And Jesus is transmitting this message to these folks, and he's saying, the king sent out his servants, his slaves. He sent out his slaves to go and call the people who were already bidden. You know what that means? That means he had already told the people there was going to be a wedding. He told them. Now he's sending out his servants and saying, hey, it's time. Come on. It's time. It's time to go to the wedding. Here comes the bride. It's time. It's time to get happy. It's time to have joy. And this is to the Jew first. And he says, go call him and go tell him that everything is ready for them to come. And in verse 3, he says, they looked at his servants and they said, nah, no thank you, no thank you. Now wait a minute, you got the invitation who knows how long ago. And now they're here, and now the king, I didn't say your next door neighbor, I said the king. The King of Kings called you up and he says, I want you to be at my wedding for my son. This is special, this is for my son. And I know, maybe they misunderstood you. Go tell them again. Go tell them again. So he sent them back. And he says, this time, kind of talk it up a little bit. Kind of talk it up a little bit. Make sure you tell them it's free. Say again. Free, no charge, on my dime. He says, let them know that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, And all things are ready, come unto the marriage. It's all paid for by the king. It's kind of like our burgers and fries. For our burgers and fries, we just want to talk to men. We just want to encourage men to come. We want to be able to tell them about the good news. We want to be able to tell them about the wedding. There's going to be a wedding, y'all. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, the king has already set the wedding. The issue is, are you going to answer your invitation? It's not whether it's going to be a wedding or not. It's going to be the wedding with or without you. It's going to happen. And so now here to the first group, he sends out this invitation. And he says, come on, I've paid for everything. Man, it is laid out. It is laid out. When we went over to Israel, in one of the hotels we were staying in, I had never stayed in a 5-star hotel. You got to understand, I was thinking 0.5-star was pretty good. And so I'm over here, and I'm staying in a 5-star hotel. And so my wife and I, the guy comes, and he says, it's time for dinner. And so you walk downstairs, and you walk into this beautiful room, and it's like everything is like this huge banquet. Everything's just out there. And everything looked good. Now, I couldn't eat all that stuff, I just tell you. But it all was so beautifully presented. Somebody had put some work into this, y'all. You understand that? Somebody had labored on this stuff, and they labored on it in the anticipation that we were going to come downstairs and partake. The king put out effort. He put out money. He put out energy. He put out labor, and he said, would y'all just come? Just come. I've paid for everything. It's all done. The wedding is set. But look at what happens here, y'all. And this is kind of what happens when the gospel message goes out. This is how it happened when it first went to the Jewish community. And it's very similar to what happens when we go out knocking on doors in our neighborhood and stuff. Very, very simple. All we're doing is bringing out the invitation. That's all we're doing, is telling folks the wedding is set. You are invited. Please come. Please come. But look what they said. They gave three reasons why they couldn't come in verses 5 and 6. And when I'm reading this, I want you to think about what you say sometimes when you get up on Sunday morning. No, I have to take that back. What I used to say sometimes I say it sometimes now, but then my wife says, you're the pastor, you got to go. Look at what they say. When they heard the invitation, he said they made light of it. They considered it no big deal. They went their way, one to his farm, and another one back to his business, his merchandise. I believe that the reason that more people don't come running to the church, that they don't come running to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they think little of it. They think it's no big deal. We got a church on every corner. Sometimes they're sharing a corner. It can't be that big of a deal. Come on, man. We just take it so lightly. We take the blood of Jesus so lightly. We take that God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, this invitation is out to whosoever. He says, anybody, I've made the preparation for you to come to the wedding. And we look at it and we say, man, I got to go to work today. Oh, you work 7 days a week? You're scheduled to go 7 days a week? Well, no, but I can get overtime by going today. It ain't nothing but church. Nothing but church. Oh, man, ball game today. Ball game today. Hey, preacher, you better hurry up. It's about noon. I'll catch you next week. You know, I can come worship next week. It's, you know, being with all those folks out there, it ain't no big deal. But what you're forgetting is,
That you need what they bring and they need what you bring. They need your fellowship. They need your encouragement and you need their encouragement.
It's a ball game's on though, Pastor. Can't you cut it a little bit short? No. You know why I can't cut it short? Because Jesus hung there till he died. He didn't cut it short. And it's important. It's of the utmost importance. But we look at it no different than this first batch of folks, which was the Jews. And they said that they made a light thing out of it. One guy said, I got to go back to my farm. I got to go farming. The other guy said, man, you know, business is booming. I got some more money I need to make. And then the last crew was even worse. The last crew, they looked at the slaves. And they said, you know what? We're about sick of y'all talking. He says, and they slew them. You know what that represents? That represents all the prophets that God sent to the Jewish community. He sent prophet after prophet. He sent Isaiah. He sent Ezekiel. He sent Job. He sent Nahum. He sent Habakkuk. He sent prophet after prophet. And do you understand? Here's what you don't understand. When you see prophets in the Bible, if a prophet shows up somewhere, when you see the prophet shows up, something's not right. When God sends the prophet, it's normally a message of doom and woe. And if you don't get this right, bad things are going to happen. That's what happens when the prophets show up. But guess what they did? In this illustration, in this parable, they did what the children of Israel did to God's prophets. They killed them. When you go and you read Hebrews chapter 11 and you see what happened, we like that part where everybody, you know, mothers received their sons back from the dead and people were healed by faith. But we don't like it when we get to that part where it talks about people were slain. People were fed to lions. People were cut asunder. Why? Because they had the audacity to give out the gospel, to give people the message of Jesus Christ, to tell people what they do not want to hear, but to tell them what they need to hear. You understand? Nobody likes being told, you're not living right. Oh, well, who are you? I'm not the standard. I'm not the standard. In fact, I'm just like you, only the fact is that I admit I need the gospel. The gospel, what kind of God would it be? What kind of God would he be if we would come to church week after week after week, sit under message after message after message, and walk out the door the same way we came in? That's about as messed up as can be. How many of y'all would keep going to a fitness center, working out, working out, working out, and you come back out looking just like you went in? Or worse. You say, this is nothing. This is junk. The Bible, the Word of God, is designed and it's designed to change us, to challenge us from the inside out. We don't get overly concerned with how people look on the outside. You don't, because you get fooled. Because some folks clean up real good and just as lost can be. But it's sometimes just called good manners. Learn how to act at home. But he sent his servants to speak to this first group of people. And he said that the invitation is out. And now he's sending it out to them. And they either made light of it and they went back to their farming. Or some of them went back to their business. And some of them had the audacity to kill his servants. Now, don't forget, Jesus is giving them a picture of what's coming. It's a prophecy. It's a picture of what's coming. And these next verses ought to send a chill through everybody. Everybody who takes God casually, this ought to send a chill through you. He says, verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He was angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Again, the wedding is ready, but look what he says. He burned down their city. Understand, historically, approximately 40 years after Jesus spoke these words to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, approximately 40 years after he's told them this, the city of Jerusalem was burnt to the ground. Every stone turned over, because it's a parable, but it's a prophetic parable. And he's saying, when they rejected me, the king was angry. The king was very angry. And so the king said, okay, you don't want me, I don't want you. And the Bible says he burnt their place to the ground. And the king said, I'm going to send out my other servants. And because in verse 8, because the ones who I sent this message to the first time were not worthy. Turn your Bibles to Acts 13:46. Just go over just a little bit. Acts 13:46. Acts 13:46. And it reads, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, because here's a situation where they had been preaching and the people were just rejecting. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, speaking to the Jews. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. He said they weren't worthy. He said they decided that what the king had for him wasn't that big a deal. Y'all, I don't want you to miss this. I don't want y'all to miss this. Here's a little something, a little oh, beside the way. When I'm talking about something that's wonderful, something that's worthy, you see where he says he sent out his servants. Well, the literal translation of that is his slaves. He sent out his slaves. And we don't like the word slave. It's almost a four-letter word, slave. But understand, slavery has been the way of the world since the beginning of the world. People have always enslaved other people. But when it comes to slavery, I want y'all to understand. When I was with the men in the office this morning, I told them, y'all, this is a joyful day. This is a joyful time. We got up this morning. We got up this morning, and guess what? I woke up a free man. In the scriptures, when the captain was talking to Paul, and he said to Paul, he said, Paul, he goes, you're free? And Paul said, yes. He said, and the captain, he was trying to dig, you know, he's trying to be sly. He said, I'm free too, and I purchased this with a great sum of money. I'm a free man too. And Paul looked at him with one of the greatest replies, and I like using it myself. Paul said, but I was born free. I'm a free man. Now, what's all that got to do with slavery? Y'all understand this. As many issues as this country has, and we got issues. There was something I found out just this week that I didn't know. Like I told you, slavery was the way of the world, the entire world. The entire world. Look it up for yourself. Do you understand there's only one nation in the history of the world that had a civil war, that means fought against itself to end slavery? Do you know there's only one nation in the history of the world that did that? You're sitting in it. Praise God. We got issues. But guess what? During that war, 10% of the population of the United States, brother against brother, cousin against cousin, friend against friend, turned against each other and said, you can't buy and sell people. It's the only country in the history of the world. That's a big deal, y'all. You and I, born free. And I praise God for it every day. I can find a whole lot of dirt on this country. But you know what? I've made a choice to go see what have we done right. especially since I've been a participant since age 21. Since, you know, I've been allowed to participate in it since 21. Now, I got to tell you, early on, I was like, but anyway, that's a whole different story. Because now God has convicted me, and he's brought me into conviction and said, you know what? I need to start contributing more than detracting. Amen. These slaves were faithful to their master, to the king. They were faithful to the king. And the king says, okay, y'all, I understand the first group of servants got killed. Being a slave ain't always cracked up to be. The first group of slaves got killed. So he got him a new batch of slaves. And he said, go ye, verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Now here's the good news. Here's the good news. First slaves went to go to the Jews to bid them, come on, come on. Everything's ready. Everything's paid for. Just come and accept it. But they refused it. They rejected it. And now he's saying to you and me and everybody here and all of our friends and all of our families, he's saying, hey, what you doing Saturday night? Got a wedding. Come on. Come on. Here comes the bride. Here, come on. And he said, as many people, he told his servants, he said, as many people as you can find. And in the Greek, what that means is that means go search. Go search high. Go search low. Go look for anybody. Go down to the clubs, look for them. Go to the honky-tonks, look for them. Go to the football stadium. Look for them. Go down to the grocery store and look for them. And say, hey, I want to invite you to a wedding. Because the wedding's set. It's going to happen. It's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it's going to be something like you've never, ever, 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 ever seen before. And you know what? All God's saints are going to be there. Everybody who's ever died in Christ is going to be there. He says, tell somebody. See, because the first group, when I told them how good this was going to be, they said, ain't that big a deal. It just ain't that big a deal. And now, he's speaking to you, and he's speaking to me. And he's saying, go into the highways, in the hedges, and find these folks. Invite them. Invite them to the wedding. Invite. Everybody's got all this misery. People are loaded down with misery. My officer friend here told me today about a man he ran into, loaded down, burdened down with misery. Can't we tell him there's a joyful time that's promised to all who accept Jesus Christ? It's a promise from the Father. It's a promise from the Father. It's an invitation from the Father. Won't you come? Won't you come? Hey, he's sending people out to fetch us. That's why when you hear people say, you say, hey, have you believed on the name of Jesus Christ? Do you have a church home? Well, I'm seeking one. I'm looking for a church. You ain't looking for no church. The church is looking for you. Jesus sent us out to find you. That's why I'm talking to you. You stand here talking crazy to me, talking about I'm looking for a church. One preacher put it this way. He said, anybody who says they're looking for a church and they don't have one, he said, at best, they're a hypocrite, and at worst, they're a liar. Because Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Here's the invitation. Come on. I'm thinking about it. I'm fitting. He sent his servants out and he said, go into the highways and the byways and get everybody. Get whosoever will. Do you look for a specific culture? No. Do you look for a specific income bracket? No. Do you look for a specific geographical location? No. He said, whosoever will. That's why I love my Jesus so much. That's why I love the gospel so much, because he says, whosoever will. It is the most inclusive message ever, 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 ever preached. Whosoever will. Go find them.
And when they went out, in verse 10, it tells you that they went out and they found a bunch of people. But guess what? By man's standards, some of them were good and some of them were bad. Amen. Bad jokers. But guess what? He said, invite them too. See, most of us, now if it was my wedding, don't be bringing no riffraff up here at my wedding. But the king said, I love them. Give it to everybody. Give them the invitation. Wait, but Lord, do you know what he did? Do you know what he did? We had flashback. Our first burgers and fries, we're down at the storefront. And so we're doing a game called Penny for Your Thoughts. And so what it is, you get a penny and you look at the dates on the penny, and you're supposed to say, what were you doing at that point in your life based on the year on the penny? And so everybody's going around, what were you doing? Oh, I graduated from high school. Oh, okay. That's when I got married. Oh, yeah. And then one brother stood up, and I said, brother, he stood up. He said, I was doing time. I'm like, what do you mean? No, I was doing time. I was in jail. I said, oh, man. But guess what? He was my brother, and he was at the burgers and fries just for guys. Not just, God says, whoever you are, whenever you get sick and tired of being what you are, and you want to be what God wants you to be, come to the invitation. That's an invitation. Whosoever will, just come on. And understand this. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I'll explain that to you a little bit later on. Move on down. He said, they invited the good and the bad. And when they did, the wedding was furnished. This is prophetic, y'all. This is a prophetic word. Jesus said, the place is going to be full. And don't forget, the Pharisees are still over here scratching their head because they don't quite get it. But they know he's talking about them. And don't forget, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the most religious people on the planet. And here Jesus is telling them, you ain't coming to the wedding. And they figured, but look at us. We're religious. We sometimes we even do this, you know. I love when those guys do it on TV. Why don't you just cross your fingers, okay? That's about how much good that's going to do you. Okay? Your religion ain't out here. It's in here. And if there's no evidence in here, you can do this 100 times a day. You ain't done nothing. Except for confuse yourself that much more. He says, the wedding was furnished. Now we get to this portion where we're talking about the dress code will be strictly enforced. I told you, we don't like rules. We really don't like rules. We really don't like regulations. Every time I see a stoplight, I get mad. Don't you know I got places to go? And I really hate it when a cop is right behind me. Just aggravates me to no end. But we the Christians, we're supposed to be the people who obey the laws. Okay, so here he says, and the king came in to see the guest. The king came down. Do y'all understand that back in the day when this was written, when you read the book of Esther and you see some of the things that took place, in the book of Esther you find out that the king, you know how you determine whether or not you lived or died? If the king held his scepter up, you lived. If the king put his scepter down, you died. If you come knocking on the king's door without being invited, don't you know you will get killed? See, we don't know nothing about, we were, what, born free? We don't know anything about that. We don't know anything about people who can't say nothing bad about their leader. We say whatever we want to say about our leader. Won't go to jail. Try that in Castro's Cuba back in the day when he was reigning like his reign of terror. You'd be, what did they say, they put you in the jail and put the key on a jackrabbit and it's over. But the king came down. The king came to mingle with the folks. The king was happy to have his guest at the wedding feast. That's where we're going, y'all. There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding feast. This is prophetic. This is going to happen. And we're going to be able to sing, "Here Comes the Bride," because now he's talking with the Gentile, with the church. This second group, he's talking with the church. And the church is going to be the bride of his son. But the king came in, and he saw a problem. He saw a problem. And here's the problem. Verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, I'm telling you about the dress code because this is very important. In that time period, when the king invited you to come to the wedding, don't forget, he provided the calf, he provided the ox, he provided the fatling, and he provided the wedding garments. He provided the wedding garments. Just think of like if you're part of a wedding party, the groom, he'll say, "Well, okay, everybody, all you guys, you have to get a certain kind of suit, certain suit, certain tie." And then you say, "Well, man, I ain't got any money." So he's got to provide that for you. Here, that was just common fare. When you came, if the king invited you to the wedding, he provided you with a specific wedding garment of his choice, because he wanted everybody and everything to look good, everything to be decent and in order. And so the king provided the wedding garment, but he looks around and he sees a guy there and he's not in a wedding garment. He doesn't have on the robe that would have been provided for him as he came in to the wedding or the feast. And the king says, "Friend," verse 12, "friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Let me elaborate a little bit on this specific garment. Years ago when I was still living up north, I was broke. But I had an opportunity. I had been in sales for quite some time, and I had the opportunity to go to work for one of the best paying furniture stores in the city. I mean, their commissions were higher than anybody else. They had insurance. They were top dog, top shelf. They sent me up to a training class. I got hired. They sent me to this training class. I learned everything. I had never been to a company, especially a sales company, that actually invested so much money in employees to train us. I mean, they brought in experts on furniture. I knew how to look for this and look for that. And oh man, it was, I had never learned that much about furniture, and I had been selling furniture for several years already. And I was like, man, this is really good. So I go to the class, I get to class, everything is fine, everything's hunky-dory. But now is the day I'm supposed to go to work. But I forgot to tell you, this company had a dress code. In this company, they had a red tie and a red jacket, dress code. Now I'm 66 years old. Have y'all yet seen me in a red tie and a red jacket? Man, day to go to work. I get up, I'm cool. I got everything, I'm cool. And I tell my wife, "I'm going to work." And she says, I said, "Okay, going to work." Now, I get up. I didn't have to shave back then, didn't have no hair on my face. didn't grow any hair on my face until I was 40. Okay. And I pick up my red jacket. Ooh, and I'm thinking about the money because I'm going to make some money. I'm going to make some money, y'all. You hear me? I'm going to make some money. And I pick up my red jacket. And I go to the mirror. I brush my teeth. Look in the mirror. Oh, God. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. But Will, think about the money. Think about the money. You pay all your bills, pay off your car. But think, okay. Got rent to pay. Got car. I look in the mirror. I can't do it. I can't do it. I call my boss up. And I say, not feeling too good. He says, what's the matter? And I can't tell him. I can't put on this jacket. I can't put on this jacket. But I said, I got to talk with you. I said, I got to talk with you. And so I went in to talk with him. He said, but Will, first he looked at me like I fell off the moon. He said, Will, you're really good at what you do. And that's, and then he said, but that's our company policy. You have to wear the red jacket. Do y'all know how many people want to try to get into heaven without Jesus Christ? Do you see how many religious people there are out there? I mean, they're fervently praying and praying and praying. To who? To what? What they don't understand is, oh, by the way, and this is true. They provided me with the jacket. I didn't even have to buy the jacket. They provided me with the jacket. The king, he looks at this guy. He says, how did you get friends? How did you get in here dressed like that? See, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. Y'all don't understand that because the Father has made this wonderful provision. He's paid for everything. In fact, He's even providing for the saints. He's providing the blood of his son. He said, how dare you walk over the blood of my son? And yet people have the audacity to say, I can do it without him. I'm a good person. I do good stuff. We are clothed in our own righteousness. And the Bible says, turn your Bibles to Romans. Romans 3:19. Romans 3:19, and it reads, now we know that the things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. He says, I got a dress code. And that dress code is the cloak of righteousness. And I'm the only one who can provide you with the cloak of righteousness. And that righteousness comes from my son, Jesus Christ. How dare you? How dare you have the nerve to say to God, the creator of all the heavens and earth, I make the rules, not you. How dare we? When he has said, come, come just as you are. And if you notice, the guy who didn't have on the proper clothes, does it say he was one of the bad ones? No, it doesn't say that. Because The gospel message, the preached message, is for good and bad, because we all got room for growth. He said it wasn't the bad guy, it wasn't the good guy, it was the disobedient guy. It was the guy who rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all, that's treason. That's cosmic treason. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, says to you, come, sup with me. Your Creator wants you to come and sup with him and spend some time with him. And you say, I'm too busy. I don't have time for that. So here's what the king did. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't like to hear that. We don't. In fact, many of us categorically reject that. But bear with me when I tell you this. If the king doesn't keep his word, he's not worthy to be called king. He provided you everything you needed. You had to come up with nothing. All you had to do was show up. You had to come up. You didn't have to come up with anything. And so if he let you in, cloaked in your righteousness, then he's got to let everybody else in their righteousness. And then he wouldn't be a worthy king because he's a liar. He said you have to have the garment to come in. See, when the Bible says you have to believe on the name of Jesus Christ to be saved, why Christians look at that as such a harsh thing, I don't know. It's not a harsh thing. It's a wonderful thing, because if he gives me that rule, then he also gives me the promise that if you do that, I'll take you. Now look at, see, we look at it from the, oh, whoa, he's being so harsh, he's being so mean, he won't let everybody in, he won't let everybody in. But what you're not doing is looking at it from the right direction, and the right direction is, wait a minute, he promised me that if I would believe on the name of Jesus Christ, he would give me everlasting life. He promised me. How do I know he's going to keep his word? Because he kept his word over there when he said, bind him, throw him out. He's a thief and a robber. Throw him out. And this is going to be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. I look at this as a warning. Because this weeping and gnashing of teeth, this phrase is found in the Bible about five or six different places. I look at this as a warning. Think about when you're driving down the highway and you're just moving right along and you see this big old sign and it says, construction, 5 miles away. Well, it's 5 miles. I ain't that concerned. I'm still making a pretty good clip. And then you see another sign. It says, construction, 3 miles away, left lane. Oh, no, all lanes closed but one. Well, I'm still putting right along because I'm doing pretty good time, and I'm okay with this, and I just keep going on down the road. But here's the sign warning me. The sign saying, you're going down from four lanes to one. That's for other people. That's what I tell my wife all the time. They don't mean that for me. That's for them. And so I just stay over in this lane because this lane's going fast. All these suckers over here are all backed up because they really believe the sign. Over here, I got lots of space. I'm just woo, 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 woo. And I'm like, why are these people all lined up? Don't they know we got 2 more miles to go? And then what happens is you get down there to where everything bottlenecks into one lane and you panic. And you try to force your way in. Because you didn't want to obey the rules. You didn't want to heed the warning. See, that's what happens here. Folks are going to end up on their deathbed talking about, Jesus, you got to take me. I don't believe nothing about you. I don't believe that you're able to save from the uttermost of the gut. I don't believe that stuff, but you're supposed to let me in anyhow. Why? Because I'm me. Heed the warning, church. Heed the warning. None but the righteous shall see God. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Heaven is for those who accept the message of Jesus Christ, unequivocally accept the message. They've had their warning. The invitation has gone out. The first group rejected the invitation, and God destroyed, the king destroyed their temple 40 years after they rejected this message. And then he said, I'm going to send it out to a new group of people. I'm going to send it out to those in the highways and the hedges and the byways, and I'm going to tell my servants, we get the privilege of being his slaves, his servants, y'all. He said, I'm going to tell my servants, go find them. Go find them wherever they're at. Turn over every stone. Turn, because I want them in my kingdom. Turn over every stone, every culture, every economic class, every nation. Go get them. That's why it's so important for churches and people to have mission work. We give to mission work. Sometimes we can barely make our own bills, but we still give to mission work. Because the message, because God will provide. He'll provide. We just keep getting the message out. Get the message out. Go highways, byways, get the message out. And he says, let this be your driving force for obeying me. Let verse 14 be the overriding reason of why we continue to give out the gospel message. He says, for many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? Many are called, but few are chosen. He's telling you here unequivocally, this message is going out to a lot of people. It's going out to everybody, y'all. Red, what's the song we sang when we were little kids? First song we learned? Takes us a while to get over this, but once we learn it, it's still true. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Doesn't matter what you think of them, doesn't matter what I think of them. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. And he says, go out and give them the gospel. The message has gone out. Many have been called. So what's that other part mean? But few are chosen. Faith comes by grace. Salvation comes by grace through faith. Many call, but few are chosen. That message has gone out to everybody here and to everybody that you know. It has gone out. And the Bible says whenever they come, whenever they answer the invitation, that's what you folks are doing here today. Y'all were invited to come to Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and you came. You got the invitation. Well, how do I become one of the chosen? Here's how you become one of the chosen. The Holy Spirit is constantly, he came here to seek, and he came here to reprove us of sin and tell us about righteousness. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to everybody in this building, everybody in the sound of my voice. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and he's speaking to you louder than I'm speaking to you. And he's saying, you've heard this message, and you've heard it time and time and time and time again. Now, are you going to receive it and believe it? And if you do, I'll choose you out the group. Wow! I pluck you right out of that group. I take you right. You're on your way to hell. I pluck you right out. I'm looking for you. I'm calling you. I'm begging you. Everything that's within me. Will you come? Will you answer the call? He's calling you. Don't say you didn't hear it. He's calling you. But now, your faith has to meet with that message. And when it does, that's when the Holy Spirit says, I got that one. Lord, I got another one for you. And he pulls you out as he pulls me out. as he pulls so many out. So today, right now, you hear that music? Here comes the bride. Here comes the bride is coming, y'all. We are the bride of Christ. But the question is, are you? And if you can't say yes, I want you to know all you got to do is say yes to the Holy Spirit calling you into the kingdom of God. He said, if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for your sins. He said, if you receive that message, you shall be saved. Man, that's good news. I get to go to the wedding? Yes, I get to go to the wedding. And I get to stay? Yes, I get to stay. And I won't get thrown out because I have on the proper garments. He said, would you come? While the music plays, y'all. While the music plays.